I want to speak to you this morning on the subject, the truth of all truths. Jesus Christ is Lord. And I have four texts that I'd like to share with you. The first one is found in Luke, the second chapter, verse 11. When the angels of God came down to announce to the shepherds the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is what they said in Luke 2, verse 11. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This Savior is none other than the Lord himself. And then when the Apostle Peter preached that first message at Pentecost in Acts, the second chapter, verse 36, this was the very heart of his message. This was the very foundation of what he was proclaiming to those religious people who had gathered in Jerusalem from every nation under heaven. He said in Acts 2:36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. And then the Apostle Paul, writing in the book of Romans, chapter 10, where he expresses his desire for the salvation of Israel, and he says they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge, and he says they're going about to establish their own righteousness and would not submit to the righteousness of God. And he came down to this description of true salvation. He says in Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus to be Lord, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Jesus as Lord. And then in Philippians 3, verse 11, the Apostle Paul, talking about our Redeemer, declares this. He says, every knee should bow, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, all four of these texts have one thing in common. They identify Jesus Christ as being Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. Not only Savior, not only Redeemer, not only the Messiah, he is the Lord. The Lord of lords and King of kings. Jesus Christ is Lord. That's the truth of all truth. That's the foundation upon which all hope rests. That's the rock upon which everything else is builded. Jesus Christ is Lord. Occasionally I see a sign on the back of a card, Jesus is Lord. What does that mean? Occasionally you go in a place of business and you'll see this sign, Jesus is Lord. What does that mean? You know what that means? Let me give you four things that the Scripture tells us that the fact that Jesus is Lord, what it means to be Lord. First of all, if he is Lord, if Jesus Christ is Lord, and the Scripture says he is, then as Lord, he has all authority in heaven and earth. If he's Lord, Jesus Christ is Lord, then he has all authority in heaven and earth. He said that in Matthew 28, verse 18, when he was sending his disciples forth to preach after he had risen from the tomb. And before he ascended back to the Father, he said to his disciples, all authority, all power, all dominion is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All authority is given unto me. And then in John 17, chapter 2, when he was praying that great priestly prayer, he said, Father, glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. Thou hast given him all power, not a limited amount of power, not a degree of power, but all authority, all power. Our Lord is omnipotent. He has all power over all flesh, not just a degree of power over some of the people on this earth, but he says, I have all authority over all flesh, that I should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given me. Now, this fact is established in the Scripture. Jesus Christ is Lord. The angel says this Savior who will be born is Lord. And Peter said, this Jesus whom you crucified is Lord. And Paul said, if you want to be saved, you'll confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And then in Philippians 3, he said, God has decreed that every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, as Lord, he has all authority in heaven, earth, and under the earth. Now, secondly, what does it mean Jesus Christ is Lord? He has all authority. Secondly, all men, as Lord, all men are his subjects. All people, all creatures, all providence is subject to him, all things. Listen to Romans chapter 14, verse 8 and 9. Whether we live unto the Lord. Or whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Jesus Christ died and rose again, that he might be Lord, both of the dead and the living, both of the believers and unbelievers, both of those in heaven and those on earth. Jesus Christ died for this purpose, that he might be Lord of the dead and the living. He's supreme Lord. And as Lord, all men are his subjects. He said this, you call me Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. All things are subject unto him. All people are subject unto him. All creatures are subject to him. As Lord, he has supreme authority in heaven and earth, and as Lord, all creatures are his subjects. Thirdly, as Lord, he has no rivals. He has no rival in heaven. He has no rival on earth. He has no rival under the earth. Philippians 3:9 says, God hath highly exalted him. Now listen, Jesus Christ he's talking about. And given him a name which is above every name, above Gabriel, above Michael, above Moses, above Aaron and the sons of Levi. Jesus Christ has a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. In Colossians 1:18, listen to the word of God. All things were created by him, for him, and he is before all things. By him, all things consist, that in all things, he might have the preeminence. It matters not whether we're talking about principalities or powers or rulers or thrones visible and invisible, whether in heaven, earth, or the seas, or under the earth, or in hell, or wherever. Jesus Christ has no rival. He is the supreme King of kings and Lord of lords. He has a name which is above every name, that in all things he may have the preeminence. Now, I know this is contrary to most preaching today that tries to get you to feel sorry for Jesus and talks about sweet little Jesus boy and poor little Jesus, and he wants to do this and folks won't let him, and he wants to do that and folks won't let him. But you won't find that in God's word. Our Lord is sovereign. Even the seas were subject to him. He stood on the ship and said, peace be still, and the seas, the rough, storm-driven seas, lay down at his feet like a shepherd dog. When they came to collect his taxes, he sent one of the disciples down to fish and pulled a fish out of the sea, and it had a coin in its mouth, and he said, go pay the taxes. Blindness fled from his sight. The dumb spake. The lame walked. The dead came forth. The storm ceased. Our Lord has all authority. He is Lord. And that's what when you say Jesus Christ is Lord, this is what you're saying. He has all authority, omnipotent. All are subject to him, and he has no rival. And then fourthly, as Lord, his will shall be done. Now you think about this a moment. He's the Lord. All are subject to him. Even the demons are subject unto him. You remember when the devil appeared with the sons of God in the presence of God in the book of Job? And God said, have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him, an upright and righteous man that fears God and hates evil. And Satan said, well, does he fear you for nothing? You put a hedge about him. You blessed everything he touched. You prospered him. You've done all these things. And he said, reach forth your hand and touch him, and he'll curse you to your face. And the Lord said, all right, Satan, He's in your hands. Only don't harm his body. In other words, Satan is in subjection to King Jesus. He's Lord of all, and everyone is subject to him. And in his own due time, he will ultimately and eternally put Satan away in his own time. But he's Lord. He has no rival. There's no power greater than his. And his will shall be done. Now listen to Ephesians 1 verse 11. He worketh all things. And that's all things, great and small, all things past, present, and future, all things involving his people and unbelievers and governments and nations and the weather. He worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. He doeth according to his will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of this earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Nebuchadnezzar built the great Babylon, you know. And then he began to brag about it. And God judged him. And the Lord told him that he would lose his understanding and lose his mind. And the great Nebuchadnezzar that built the great Babylon would be out in the field with his hair growing long like bird feathers. And his claws, his fingernails growing long like bird claws. For seven times will pass over him before his reason came back to him. And Nebuchadnezzar was cast out into the field. And that happened to him. He lost his reasoning. He lost his understanding. And he said, after those days, when the judgment of God was fulfilled, he said, my understanding returned to me, and I praise the Most High that ruleth in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. God's will shall be done. Jesus Christ is Lord, and his will is going to be done. Now, that's what we mean when we say Jesus Christ is Lord. And that's what the angel was saying when they announced the birth of Christ, that the one who is to be our Savior is also our Lord. And Peter said, this one whom you crucified is Lord. And Paul said that the gateway into the kingdom of God, the way into the mercy of God, is to confess and to believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. And as Lord, he has all authority. As Lord, all are his subjects. As Lord, he has no rival. And as Lord, his will shall be done. They said, David, where is your God? Now, we know where our gods are. Our gods are where we have them. Our gods are where we place them. Our gods are where we permit them to be. Our gods do what we permit them to do and what's expected of them. David, where's your God? And David wrote in Psalm 115 and Psalm 135, our God's in the heaven. He hath done whatsoever he pleased. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven, earth, in the seas, and in all deep places. Our God is Lord. Now, Jesus Christ, my friend, is Lord now. He's Lord now. Not he ought to be Lord. He is Lord. Not he should be Lord. He is Lord. Not he will be someday during the millennial reign. He's Lord right now. Jesus Christ is Lord. And this truth is misunderstood not only by enemies but by friends alike. I hear preachers often exhorting their congregation in a very pitiful plea, won't you make Jesus your Lord? Won't you please make Jesus your Lord? Now listen to me, my friends, and I'm not being harsh, I'm being truthful. Men do not make Jesus Christ Lord. The Father beats you to it. He's already made him Lord. He's Lord by decree. He's Lord by divine purpose. He's Lord by divine power, and he's Lord by purchase. He purchased the right to be Lord. He ascended the throne by the way of the bloody tree. Our Lord Jesus Christ bought his throne with his own precious blood. He bought the right to have authority. He conquered sin and Satan and death and hell, and that lordship belongs to him. You don't give it to him. You don't make him Lord. It's not by your permission that he reigns. He reigns by decree, by the decree of the Heavenly Father. He's Lord. God hath made. Listen to Peter preach at Pentecost. Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you crucified to be Lord. God made him Lord. God hath highly exalted him. God hath given him a name above every name. God hath decreed that all authority and all power should be vested in the Son. God hath committed all judgment to the Son. That's what the Scripture says. You don't make Jesus Christ Lord. He is your Lord. You say, well, Brother Mann, what do? We do what the Scripture commands us to do. We bow to His Lordship. We bow to His Lordship. God made Him Lord. God hath made this same Jesus both Lord and Christ. Thomas recognized it. He fell on his face and cried, my Lord and my God. We claim to be so smart. We claim to be theologians and preachers and orthodox and fundamentalists. The thief on the cross knew more than we know in this generation. He knew Christ was Lord. Listen to that thief on the cross dying there in shame and anguish. But he turned to the Son of God and he said, I'm getting what I deserve. But you're not going to stay dead. You're coming into a kingdom because you are a king. He saw through that crown of thorns. He saw through that mockery of the soldiers. He saw through those things as the Holy Spirit gave him eyes to see. And he said in a loud voice, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. You don't make him Lord. God made him Lord. You bow to his Lordship. You worship Christ as Lord. You submit to Christ as Lord. You receive Christ as Lord. But God made him Lord. Listen to Paul on the road to Damascus. Hear this heathen fundamentalist, this heathen theologian, this fellow that claimed to know God and didn't know God, was a stranger to grace and an enemy of salvation by grace. And he fell on his face before that great light. And when he heard that voice speak to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He answered, who art thou, Lord? And when our Lord identified himself as Jesus of Nazareth, the Apostle Paul said, what will you have me to do, Lord? And my friends, that's it. And I'm saying this to you, and this is a very important point here, and I want you to be a little quieter, and I want you to be a little more attentive, and I want you to listen to what I'm about to say. Our whole concept of Christianity today, popular modern Christianity in this day, is influenced by the preaching of high-pressure, famous evangelists of the past who called upon men to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior while they ignored His Lordship, His kingship, and His sovereignty. This false teaching is the foundation of most evangelism today and most preaching today. You hear it all the time. Won't you accept Jesus as your Savior? Never mind about His Lordship. Never mind about submitting to His reign in your life. Never mind about submitting to His rule in your life. Just accept Jesus as your Savior from hell. If you don't want to bow to His Lordship, that's all right. Just accept Jesus as your Savior from hell. If you don't want to submit to His reign and rule in your life, that's all right. Accept Jesus as your Savior. If you don't want to glorify Him in your life, and you don't want to worship Him, and you don't want to bow before Him, that's all right. This is totally false. My friend, I say unto you, and I'm being as candid and plain as I can be from the Word of God, if Christ is not your Lord, He's not your Savior. If Jesus Christ is not your King, He is not your Savior. If you do not submit to His scepter, you will not receive His salvation. You cannot. It is an impossibility. Know Jesus Christ the Savior and reject Jesus Christ the Lord. He cannot be divided. His offices cannot be divided. He is prophet, priest, and king. He is not just prophet and priest. He's prophet, priest, and king. He is all that God requires of us. He is all that God expects of us. He is all that God demands of us, and we're complete in Him. Now, you listen to some scriptures. I read this one to you. Paul said in Romans 10:9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus to be Lord, and shalt believe in thine heart God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Nothing there about accepting Jesus as a Savior from hell while you reject His Lordship. Listen to this scripture. He that taketh not up his cross and followeth after me cannot be my disciple. What is the cross? It's a symbol of death. Death to my will. and bowing to his will. Death to myself and bowing to his reign. Death to my own desires and my own ambition, and making Christ the Lord of my life. Listen to this scripture. If any man love his mother, father, husband, wife, brother, sister, even his own life more than me, he cannot be my disciple. That's pretty plain. That's lordship. That's kingship. That's not accepting a fire escape or a fire insurance policy to keep you out of hell. That's bowing. That's submitting to the reign of Christ. Listen to this scripture. He that puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. When that Philippian jailer came trembling and fell on his face before Paul and Silas and cried, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Paul didn't say, "Accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior," while you reject his lordship and his kingship and his sovereignty and his reign. He said to that man, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Men today have it backwards. They have it completely backwards. They say, make Jesus your Savior, and if you choose later on, that is, if you feel so obliged to do so, you can make him Lord. But that's not what the Scripture says. The Scripture says, bow to the claims of King Jesus. The Scripture says, submit to the Son of God as your King of kings and Lord of lords. The old hymn writer captured it this way. He said, "I'll to the gracious King approach, whose scepter mercy gives. Perhaps he will receive my touch, and then the sinner lives. I can but perish. If I go, I am resolved to try. For if I stay away, I know I shall forever die." What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this. There is no way of salvation open for any sinner apart from unconditional surrender to Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. As his Lord and Savior. Our Lord does not demand admiration. He's admired by all the angels. Our Lord does not demand only an interest or sympathy or approval. He demands surrender. That's what Scripture teaches, unconditional surrender. If Jesus Christ sits upon the throne of your heart, every other god is going to abdicate. If Jesus Christ reigns in your life, every other god is going to lead your life, and he's going to be supreme Lord and Master. Christ is our friend. He is our counselor. He is our example, and he is our guide, but he is, first of all, our Lord, and he reigns in virtue of his lordship. None other name. What is his name? He's the Lord. You know, the Scripture says there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The Scripture tells us this, that whosoever shall call on the name of the Son of God shall be saved. What is this name? Well, this name is given us in Philippians 3. God hath highly exalted him and given him a name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess that he's what? He's Lord. That's his name. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. What is that name? Lord, the Lord Jesus. The disciples called him the Lord Jesus. You won't find anywhere in the epistles the disciples referring to their master only as Jesus. They called him the Lord Jesus. They called him Master. They never addressed him and said Jesus. They said Lord. They always called him Lord. They always called him Master. And that's his name. His name is Lord. And to be a Christian is not just to believe some facts about Christ. It's not just to believe some theology. It's not just to turn over a new leaf. It's not just to start another way of life. The first thing about a Christian is this: he bows the knee to Jesus Christ, to his word, to his will, and to his lordship. And the gospel that we preach does not confront men primarily with an offer to heal their ills or solve their problems. You know what the gospel of the Word of God confronts men with? It confronts rebels who have taken up arms against the King of Kings and Lord of Lords to lay down their arms and surrender. The battle started in the Garden of Eden. And men have said since that day, we'll not have this man reign over us. We'll let him save us from hell. We'll let him heal our bodies. We'll let him feed our bellies. We'll let him clothe our bodies, but we will not bow. We will not submit to his lordship. You will if he ever saves you. Yes, you will. I'm not being harsh and I'm not being narrow-minded. I'm just saying to you, truthfully, that the Bible knows nothing about a doormat named Jesus. The Bible presents him as Christ the Lord. The Bible knows nothing about a fire escape named Jesus. The Bible presents him as Christ the Lord. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you how? As King of kings and Lord of lords. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you appear with him in glory. My friends, read the messages of the apostles. The apostles of our Lord began their messages with the lordship of Christ. Where is he? He reigns at the right hand of God. Heaven, the heaven of heavens won't contain him. The earth is his footstool. He holds the nations as a drop in the bucket and considers the inhabitants thereof as grasshoppers. He's the king. And as a king, he will be worshipped. And that's the way men worship him. In what character did the soldiers mock him? They put a crown of thorns on his head and a scepter in his hand and a robe on his back. They mocked him as king. In what character did Pilate try him? He tried him as king. He said, "Behold your king." What was the sign over his cross? The King of the Jews. How shall he return? King of kings and Lord of lords. In what character will you believe on him if you're saved? The King Jesus. The disciples' favorite term for themselves was servants of the Lord. Their favorite position was at his feet. Their favorite occupation was to glorify him. And their favorite pastime was to serve him. And their favorite prayer was, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven."